Windy City Queer Cast.
Gays and lesbians are all the rage.
We're here and we're queer.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
We're talking mega gay.
Ooh, I like that.
I'm Mitchell Fain.
I'm Amy Matheny.
This program is brought to you in part by American Airlines, offering exciting GLBT vacations online at aa.com/rainbow.
Queercast show number 618. I'm Amy Matheny.
And I'm Mitchell Fain.
Oh my gosh, I think we're on a bit of a high.
Oh my
and
God, it's crazy.
It is going to be our Empire recap show and lots of things we can talk about that. We are going to start off by just saying mazel and congratulations
to the entire Empire world.
Well, no. I was actually saying mazel and congratulations to the couples that got married in Florida this week in the mass wedding. Did you hear about this?
Oh my God. Yeah.
Yeah. So, and it has a connection, even though it was in the New York Times, which I think is super, super cool. I have a thing where I pick up the New York Times and I just have this thing that I cannot wait to go look at the back section to see how many lesbians or gay men are getting married. Isn't it weird? I mean, maybe it's not weird. And I'm not even like this huge marriage person, but no. I've kind of gotten on the bandwagon of celebrating our community who wants to do this, you know?
I'm with you.
And, you know, I may want to one day. Who knows? But there was a couple, this last issue, or a couple issues ago of the Sunday New York Times profiled two women, Lori Cimino, I'm probably saying that right, and Julie Durden.
Yeah, it's probably Cimino.
Cimino, probably. That's right. Yeah, see, Southerner and
right.
You know the
East
Italians.
Coast, right.
There you go. But Art Smith, the way it's got a Chicago connection is Art Smith, you know, the famed chef, openly gay chef, top chef here with his beautiful restaurant, Table 52. He was so excited to celebrate marriage equality in his home state of Florida, which I did not know he was a Floridian. And so he got all of these couples to gather together for a kind of mass wedding. And it's just really, really, really cool. They had 29, 30 couples who gathered and they got married. And so they kind of do a little profile of their story and how they met, and even kind of profile how the girl from Miami's mom had a little bit of an issue with her daughter in the couple, and then they, you know, they got it. They have two children, so, you know, I mean, they definitely. One of the women said that the that she got proposed to because the children proposed to her. Like there was this whole thing that their kids wanted them to get married.
Yeah, get married, mom.
Right, and so really, really, really kind of cool that, you know, I just kind of love it. I do too.
I go through the wedding things. I often find the sort of longer story in the. Usually the longer story is some obnoxiously, like, incredibly, you know, it's always some story of, like, some incredibly wealthy, privileged couple. And it's a story about, like, oh, my God, we went on this biking tour of France and I broke my ankle and got stuck behind at this charming little, you know, inn. And then I met this. It's like, who cares about your life? But so I generally get sort of grossed out by it. Like, it's
so that was kind of a nice one to have.
Yes,
it be the
exactly.
Long one, right?
It was because it was also like it was so inclusive.
Yeah.
You know, as opposed to this feeling of like sometimes, and it has little to do with It has little to do with gay marriage, but like you said, like a little issue with like the idea of marriage in general. There's a sometimes I think there's a quality about those articles that are like, I got mine, we got ours.
That's right.
Oh, you poor single person.
That's right.
And so I don't like that, but this idea that it was sort of communal.
Well, it's cool because Ted Allen, who used to be a Chicagoan, and he doesn't live here anymore. He used to come into a restaurant I was a part of for many, many years from Queer Eye for the Straight Guy. He was there. And Guy Fieri, who's also one of the big celebrity chefs, he happens to also be a universal life minister. So
he
I think he married them. And you've married some people.
Yes,
so
I have. I am a universal life minister as well.
You've only married straight people, right?
Straight people.
I think you say, I think that should be on your calling card. You should say, I'm a gay man who only will marry straight people.
But I have to marry them within a stone's throw of Provincetown.
That's right. Well, that's right. It has to be a little gay.
Yeah, I love it.
They got to be a little gay if they got you marrying them.
So great. I mean, here's the deal. The whole marriage thing, I mean, it's like, my only worry is like, I've never been, I mean, you know, I watched so many marriages fail in my family. So, you know, you get this sort of bitter taste in your mouth from your own stuff, you know? So I realize I have baggage when it comes to marriage. So sometimes I'm unclear even to myself about how I feel about marriage.
Well, see, I have it's funny that the two sides are so same. Like mine is, my parents have been married for so many years, like 50 plus years, you know, that like, I kind of go, I don't know. Like, I don't know what that would be like. I mean, I love my parents and they're great. They're fantastic.
Right.
But, you know, there is a part of me that goes, okay, there's things that come with being married for 50 some odd years too, you know? And
sure.
So I've had similar baggage of like, I don't know.
Right, like
or I don't know that I've met anybody who I would be able to do that with for 50 years, you know, do this daily thing with for 50 years, you know?
I know, I guess I'm sort of going to talk about something personal here, but you know, I've been a happily...
It's going to be the first time.
I know.
It's going to be the first time you ever talk about anything personal, Mitchell.
I know. I never talk about anything personal. But I tend not to talk about relationships, right? Because I've been, as I've mentioned on the podcast many times, that I've been a happily single man.
Yeah.
Like I said, I've never been the person that you hear go, oh God, I'm so lonely.
No,
I wish I had a boyfriend.
Know.
I just am not that guy. I'm not.
You know lots of people.
I know lots of people. I go on lots of dates. I date. And I've been very happy with that. But recently...
You're emotionally and sexually very happy.
Exactly.
Recently,
about 6 months ago, I met someone and I've been spending a lot of time with them. And not that I'm thinking about marrying him in any way, but it does, having somebody in my life, it makes me think about those things like, spending the rest of my life with someone, you know, and having to. And I think this is true a lot of gay people, maybe specifically I'm talking about gay men, giving up our autonomy for the idea of this. One person. And I think some of the issues that come up about heteronormative behavior is like, do I want to give up?
Right.
What has been my sort of like sense of freedom? I mean, you know, I'm very ethical. It's not like I'm cheating on people or leading people on or letting them think.
Right.
I've been very sort of above board about my dating habits and social life, happily so. And so now that we're maybe soon to be legally, the entire country can get married by the end of this year. Do gay people now need to say, well, if we're going to be, do we have to get married now?
Well, I think it's a really great question. You know, I have my friend Pat, she and her partner Kim, now wife, but partner Kim, you know, they've been together like 20 plus years, you know, and it just feels a little weird to like go, are we going to make it official? Do we want to? And then it just, I think for them, became down to some logistics. But I know other people who are like, when it happened and they've been together like 10 years, another friend of mine, and she was like, you know, I was kind of offended now that like everybody was asking us, like, when are you going to get married? When are you going to get married?
So now
and she was like, I don't really know. Do we want to get married? Like, what does that mean? And she has not gotten married, but I'm invited to like a number of gay weddings between now and July and one straight wedding.
Me too, and I can't go to any of them.
And it's kind of, well, I'm going to three of them, I think. Three out of three, and two of them are gay, and it's a lesbian couple, a gay male couple, and a straight couple. That is what my next three weddings look like, which is really different.
Amazing.
And really interesting, right? And all are people that, two of these couples have been together 10 plus years. You know, the gay couples have been together 10 plus years. So, I mean, that's the difference. When you go to a wedding of like gay couple that's been together 10, 15, 20 years, or even 7 or 8, you know, I'm not saying it has more impact, but it has more impact.
Sure. Than somebody like met a year ago.
It kind of has more impact because I've been to weddings in the past 5 or 10 years of all straight people. I haven't been to any gay wait, I'm lying. I feel like I've been to one gay wedding, but I can't remember whose it was. I haven't been to a lot of gay weddings. And I went to, a couple of straight weddings that, you know, a couple of them have already ended, you know? And yeah. So you just kind of go... I mean, I think gays will have the same divorce rate, honestly.
I think they will, too.
I don't think that's going to change because that's just people trying to be with the same person right. Or people doing people or people getting married too quickly. I think the marriages that will last are the people who have been together 10, 15, and 20 years.
I think you're right because, I mean, they've already settled into it.
Yeah.
Now, I think the question that comes up, and this is interesting for people who are listening and want to, like, pipe in on the
marriage question.
Yeah, on the marriage question on the website, you know, like... what do people think? I mean, one of the sort of beautiful things about queer culture because of the repression that we've had to deal with is that we create our own ways and we create our own families and we create our own normal, you know? And some people accuse us, gay men, I'm speaking to specifically, of promiscuity and that we have more partners. Well, you know what? Statistically, we do. Mm-hmm. And it's like, we weren't invited to the party for so long that we made up our own party. Mm-hmm. And do we have to give up? Some people really like the party. For some people, it really works for men.
But
some people are really looking forward to. I mean, the thing is, when you were if you're heterosexual, there are certain there are always certain landmarks that you were going to hit. Right, you were going to graduate high school. You were going to go to college. You were going to graduate college. You were going to get your first job. You were going to meet somebody. You were going to get married. You were going to have kids. You were going to buy your first house. You know, right. All those sort of things that like benchmarks that you could plan on your life.
That's right.
Whereas for gay people, we didn't have those, so we got to make our own. Mm-hmm. And out of that kind of exclusion or repression came something I think really beautiful, which is our own take on things. Mm-hmm. And so does that must needs disappear if we all mainstream? Now, as anyone who decides to have a polyamorous relationship or to just be together or to be a person who just dates and doesn't get married, are we now looked down on? Mm-hmm. Right?
I mean, honestly, I think what's going to happen is that straight couples are going to have different contracts as well for their marriages. I mean, if you're not particularly, if there's not a religious reason that you want to be monogamous, I think this is the new, you know, I think that that's going to be a new question.
Which is interesting because it plays into the, like,
right?
Plays into the fears of, like, we're destroying heterosexual marriage.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I don't think we are, but I think that...
No, I don't think we are, too. It's all how you interpret it.
But I know, you know, I've known gay men who've been together 20, 25, some odd years, you know, and they have open relationships, and they're never going to break up, and they love each other dearly, you know, and they're not legally married, but I've always thought of them as, you know...
Sure.
...indelibly together, you know, and that just works, and I think you have... That is, I think, one of the things people... you know, have to be clear on when they enter into relationships is what do you want? Do we want the same things? And then obviously understand that we're changing people. And so, and some of the stuff we're going to talk about next week on our show is about people, you know, changing and what stays the same and what changes and how, you know, that we are the only thing that's certain is change. Right.
Right.
And so we're these changing, living, breathing, growing organisms. And, you know, you just hope that you check in with that partner and say, we are changing together, or I'm going to pause here and watch you change, or I'm going to try to change with you, or I'm going to accept your change or whatever. And so, I'm going to ask you to accept my change. And I think that's, you know, that's the deep, deep work, I think, of couples that survive. And sometimes there are changes that are driven by outside factors. I mean, just life, things happen, illness or sickness or
right. It's just some
children
changes.
And you know, and it's like when really tragic or huge things happen sometimes to couples, how they can try to weather
or
the statistics that, you know, relationships end. Some of these are in our control, some of these are not in our control, you know? And so it is just kind of like how malleable, how flexible, what is your love based on? And sometimes the changes that you separate, you know, sometimes the changes that you part, you know?
Yeah, I mean, this idea that we're, you know, of course, redefining marriage as the fear of so many conservatives. But somebody said to me something really interesting, and this is sort of an interesting point that somebody brought up. I'm not sure how I feel about it, but a straight friend of mine, a straight guy friend of mine, was talking about he has been best friends with the same guy for 25 years. Mm. They live together. Mm-hmm. They have had girlfriends. They have had serious girlfriends. They have never not lived together since they were old enough to have their own apartment. Uh-huh. They are everything. They own the house together.
They have a bromance.
They are partners in every way except they don't sleep together. And they've thought seriously about getting married.
Interesting.
Because their whole lives, I mean, they have no plans on not living together. Even the women that come into their lives understand that this is the primary relationship.
It's like
he explained to me that...
Wow, that's wild.
I know, right? And he explained to me that he is physically straight and emotionally gay. Like he gets all of his emotional needs met.
How old is this person?
Oh, they're in their 40s.
Oh, okay.
He gets his emotional needs met by this best friend of his.
Yeah.
You know, they just have each other's back in every possible partnership like way, but they don't sleep together. So they seek sexual satisfaction outside of that relationship. Yep. So it's like, I'm not so sure how different that is from a lot of other relationships I know. But it's interesting, right? If two men can get married, can two buddies who know that they're going to spend the rest of their life just together, mm-hmm. you know, completely enmesh in each other's finances and families, I mean, he said even their family treats them as a couple, even though they know they're heterosexual.
Yeah.
It's an interesting question.
Ben and Matt,
who knows?
Maybe you should have just
I should just
married.
Say, it, that's who I'm talking about is Ben and Matt.
Ben Affleck and Matt Damon. Mitchell is going to help me out with the news today. Kirk's on a little time away, which he so deserves. The man works so, so hard. So Kirk's on a break. Mitchell's going to help me with the news. We're going to tell you what's going on in the theater scene. And then we'll be back because we got to talk about Empire. Oh, my Lord. So much happened in 2 hours.
Oh, my God. We went up, down, up, down,
up,
down.
It was an odyssey.
Odyssey.
We'll be back after this. And this is the weekend news. In Philadelphia, at the 50th anniversary celebration of the LGBT rights movement, Edie Windsor and Judy Shepherd will receive the International Role Model Awards. The 50th anniversary ceremony at Independence Hall on July 4th includes a four-day celebration of panels, parties, and a street festival in Philadelphia's renowned gayborhood.
Lawrence Reed has been found guilty of the murder of gay Clarksdale, Mississippi mayoral candidate Marco McMillan and sentenced to life in prison without parole. Reed confessed to the 2013 murder, but claimed he acted in self-defense, saying McMillan tried to rape him. McMillan's body was found near the Mississippi River after being doused with gasoline and set on fire.
With the backing of the Mormon Church leaders, the Republican-dominated Utah legislature passed a bill that bans discrimination against LGBT people in housing and employment, while also protecting religious institutions that object to homosexuality. The legislation, known as the Utah Compromise, has been hailed by Mormon leaders and gay rights advocates as a breakthrough in balancing rights and religious freedom, and as a model for other conservative states.
The full South Dakota Senate opted not to take up a proposal that would void a high school activities association policy on transgender students' participation in sports. The policy requires schools to review requests by transgender students or their guardians to decide on which team the student can participate.
The Republican-dominated Florida House voted to remove language from law that bans gay adoption. The vote would bring adoption laws in line with current practice that allows gay and lesbian people to adopt children.
An Indiana House committee approved controversial religious freedom legislation. The House Judiciary Committee voted to send the measure to the full House for consideration. Supporters say Senate Bill 101 is necessary to protect the freedom of people with strong religious beliefs, including business owners who don't want to provide services for same-sex wedding ceremonies. However, opponents say the measure would license discrimination against gays and lesbians.
Boston's St. Patrick's Day parade made history. Two gay and lesbian groups marched after decades of opposition that went all the way to the U.S. Supreme Court. The gay military veterans service group OutVets and the gay rights group Boston Pride marched in the annual celebration.
D.C. Police Sergeant Jessica Hawkins is the new supervisor of the Metropolitan Police Department's Gay and Lesbian Liaison Unit, becoming the first transgender person to hold the position.
A teenager in New York State, Kyle Box, has been charged with murder after he confessed to stabbing and setting fire to a gay man, Randy Bent, 62, that he may have met through Craigslist. Police have not offered a motive or determined how the men knew each other, but friends of Bent said that he often met people on Craigslist.
American Judaism Reform Movement, the faith group's largest denomination, has released a new version of its best-selling prayer book, and it deals with such issues as women, gay equality, and doubt. The text, overhauled for the first time in 40 years, includes gender-neutral blessings for transgender people and changes bride and groom to couples in an effort to be LGBT-friendly.
And in world news, two-time major champion Amelie Mauresmo was elected to the International Tennis Hall of Fame. Mauresmo won both the Australian Open and Wimbledon in 2006. She was number one for 39 weeks in her career, becoming the first French woman to reach the top of the computer rankings since they were introduced in the 1970s. Mauresmo also came out as a lesbian in 1999.
IKEA is to close down an online magazine in Russia over fears it is disregarding the country's law banning the promotion of gay values to minors. The furniture giant said some articles in IKEA Family Live could be viewed in Russia as gay propaganda.
In New Zealand, a Victoria University researcher has found that homosexuality was prevalent in the early Christian Roman Empire, contrary to what historians have previously believed. Dr. Mark Masterson analyzed a range of communications from the late 4th and early 5th centuries. Masterson's findings are detailed in his book, Man to Man, Desire, Homosociality, and Authority in Late Roman Manhood.
Doctors have performed the world's first successful penis transplant. The 9-hour operation by surgeons in Cape Town offers hope to high numbers of South African men who lose their penises due to complications with traditional circumcision. Experts thought the unnamed 21-year-old patient, who had to have his penis amputated 3 years ago after circumcision, would take 2 years to regain all function. However, it has taken the relatively short time of 4 months.
And in entertainment news, openly gay actor Matt Bomer from Magic Mike and HBO's The Normal Heart will star opposite Lady Gaga in American Horror Story Hotel, the upcoming fifth installment of FX's horror anthology series.
HBO has playwright David Auburn writing an untitled project with Elizabeth Banks playing Billie Jean King and Paul Giamatti as Bobby Riggs in the story of the 1973 Battle of the Sexes tennis match. In the match, the then 29-year-old King beat the 55-year-old retired former Wimbledon champ.
Multi-platinum recording artist Josh Groban will release a new album, Stages, on April 28th, featuring songs from Les Mis, Sunday in the Park with George, Phantom of the Opera, Into the Woods, and The Fantastics, with duets with Kelly Clarkson, Audra McDonald, and Chris Botti.
Out actor Jim Parsons was awarded a star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame. The 41-year-old has starred in movies and on Broadway, but it's his work as Sheldon Cooper on the CBS comedy The Big Bang Theory that qualified him for the honor.
The TLC Channel documentary All That Jazz about transgender teen activist Jazz Jennings will debut this summer. The series will chronicle her life, juggling her foray into high school while navigating how a transgender teen approaches dating and sleepovers, all while avoiding male puberty. Jennings is the recipient of Logo TV's 2014 Youth Trailblazer Award and was also named one of the 25 most influential teens of 2014 by Time Magazine. Also, Jennings is one of the new faces of Clean and Clear's See the Real Me ad campaign.
Richard Glatzer, who wrote and directed Still Alice with husband Wash Westmoreland, died March 10th of complications from ALS. He was 63. Julianne Moore won the Best Actress Oscar last month for her role in the film about a linguistics professor who struggles with early-onset Alzheimer's.
Plans for an e-docu-series following Bruce Jenner's transition to becoming a woman have been put on hold. The project had planned to follow Jenner's gender identity journey, and GLAAD had been enlisted to consult on transgender issues. E! Signed the Kardashians to 3 more seasons of Keeping Up with the Kardashians last month. The renewal deal doesn't include Jenner.
A lesbian couple is among the 4 couples appearing on Bravo's reality series Newlyweds, the first year. In their first year of marriage, Laura Lay and Samantha Abbey will explore having a child, deal with a large inheritance, and face career issues.
And that's the weekend news brought to you by Windy City Times.
Hey Chicago, it's Adina Menzel, and you're listening to the Windy City Queercast.
Culture Club, Culture Club, Culture Club. Theater, music, dance, art, performance, provocative, hilarious, exciting,
queer, innovative, campy,
edgy,
original.
Get some culture in your life.
Join the club.
For the week of March 23rd, 2015, you are in Chicago's Culture Club. Experience The Diary of Anne Frank like never before. Join 13 actors in the intimate Writers Theater bookstore for a powerfully authentic portrait of a young girl clinging to hope. Rediscover the classic the Chicago Tribune called truthful, deeply engaged, and extraordinary in the telling. For tickets, visit writerstheater.org. The Diary of Anne Frank is now playing through July 5th at the intimate Books on Vernon and Glencoe, just minutes from Chicago on the Edens or Metra.
Don't miss the Seldoms Dance Company and their bold, exacting physicality in Power Goes, a premiere at the MCA. The Seldoms explore the nature of political power and its relationship to social action and change. The Seldoms are playing this week, March 26th through 29th at the MCA. For tickets, visit mcachicago.org.
Lifeline Theater continues its 32nd season of Big Stories Up Close with One Came Home, a world premiere adaptation of Amy Timberlake's award-winning coming-of-age novel. Tickets and more at lifelinetheater.com. One Came Home runs Thursdays through Sundays through April 5th. And for more Culture Club, visit windycitytimes.com.
Hi there, this is Deb Pierce reminding you it's okay. Go ahead. You're not alone. Post a comment.
If your lips are moving, if your lips are moving, if your lips are moving, then you la la la, babe. If your lips are moving, if your lips are moving, if your lips are moving, then you la la la, babe. Boy, look at me in my face. Tell me that you're not just about this bass. You really think I could be replaced? Nah, I come from outer space and I'm a classy girl. I'ma hold it up. You full of something, but it ain't love. And what we got is straight overdue. Go find somebody new.
You can buy me diamond earrings.
Well, this past week was it. I mean, Mitchell and I, we watch on the couch every week. I was a little devastated because I had to go to Tennessee. And Mitchell was like, what do you mean? What do you mean you're going to be on the couch? What do you mean?
I literally think I texted you, how dare you? Dare you?
You did. How dare you? I showed it to my family. Well, here's the funny thing. I get home. My sweet mother and I are just putzing around because I've only been there like...
Oh, my God. We have to stop for a second. When you say putz, what you mean is futz because
futz.
Futz, because putz means penis.
Okay. We were not penising around.
You were not dicking around. Okay. You were futzing around, which
we
was
were futzing around.
Messing around.
All right, futz. Oh, my Yiddish is getting corrected on the show in real time. I love it. All right, so we were futzing around
there. Thank
home.
You.
Excellent. I'm not going to say that other thing, too.
No, don't
also
say
has something to
don't
do with the penis, it. But anyhow. And so we were messing around.
Thank you.
Futzing around. We weren't actually really fussing. I was just been there 30 minutes and we sat down. That's
yeah.
what that's how some
that's
people fuss.
Yeah.
We sat down and mom said, "What do you well now, what do you want to do for dinner tonight? Now we could go out or we could just have some chicken salad, or what would you like to do now? Now do you watch Empire?" Now this is I
oh
sound just like my mother.
You do. It's freaky
now,
actually.
Now do you watch Empire? Now your daddy's even watching it. Now they have a 2-hour season finale tonight. So I thought we might just do chicken salad tonight so we could watch. And I was like laughing so hard. I was like, I wish Mitchell was on the wall.
Oh my God.
So I texted Mitchell really quick. I was like, my mother just said, do you watch Empire? Which instantly tells me my mother does not listen to my podcasts.
Right.
But she doesn't understand technology enough to listen to them. So, and she complains that none of us will show her how to even use her iPhone. So,
that's so funny.
It's so funny. But anyhow, so
I know,
sat
watch
and watched
separately.
Empire with my mom on the couch texting you.
I know.
And I was like, oh my God, all my family's on the couch. It was really fun. Okay, your thoughts, your immediate feedback
well,
from
just,
the 2 hours, which are 2 1-hour episodes back to back.
I've never seen more plot twists.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, especially that first hour.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they went sort of back, you know.
Mm-hmm.
There was just so, you know, they sort of did that thing where they showed the first scene
right.
of the show and then got us up to date
right,
with everyone's
like
storyline.
Who's going to get the dynasty,
right.
essentially.
Right, sort of the
kingdom.
The King Lear part of this story of
yep.
like, you know, who's going to get the kingdom, right? Which of the three children is
right.
going to get the kingdom. And so...
I guess we should say spoilers and turn off this podcast if you don't want to hear
yeah,
stuff that happened.
Yeah.
And we won't be offended.
But just, I mean, Cookie was ousted, then Cookie came back. Hakeem was sleeping with Boo Boo Kitty. And I
yeah.
mean, that was...
Yeah.
That was shocking. I mean, just, there was so many plot twists. There were more, literally, other shows that have entire like runs, 7 or 8 seasons, yeah, didn't have as many plot twists as this 2 hours of Empire. Yeah. I loved it. It was such modern, I thought it was such modern TV storytelling in a way, because they didn't belabor these major plot twists. They just presented them and then you were like,
yeah.
Oh.
They just pushed on through.
Oh, so that just happened? Okay, because suddenly now Jamal is in charge. Suddenly now Andre and Hakeem are plotting against him. I mean, suddenly it's taken on a...
Yeah.
It's taken on so many other...
Yeah. Boo Boo Kitty's come in as an ally.
Boo Boo Kitty's an ally. That, with that genius reference to Dynasty.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Where they had a cat fight between... Mm-hmm. I mean, everybody's been saying, when is there going to be like a...
I want somebody's snatched hair to come off, though.
I know. I know. I think that happened on Dynasty, right? I mean, they swim in the... I mean... You know, the most famous fight on Dynasty was in the pool.
Right.
So they had to fight on the pool table.
Yeah.
Right? It was such a great...
Homage.
Because everybody's been saying this entire season,
yeah,
oh, it's like the Black Dynasty. It's the Black Dynasty. It's the Black Dynasty. When's it going to be a cat fight? When's it going to be a cat... And they did it, and they did it on the pool table.
Yeah.
So good.
Yeah, we got to have cookie sex, too.
Oh, yeah. I know.
He was hot. I was hoping he was going to stay around for a while.
I know, Derek Luke. He might come back.
Yeah, maybe he will. I mean, so much happened that I felt like it was a 700-page novel that was condensed into like a mini series on a television show. Except that, you know, why it worked for me is because they earned us every episode before it.
Yeah.
And then they just asked us to become very elastic and very nimble and let it, you know, fling out to the outer reaches, which I found totally believable with the kind of reactive and powerful qualities that these people had. You know, I trusted it and I went with it. And
me too, because the power, I mean, what was sort of one of the themes of the show is that power shifts all the time.
Right.
You know?
And you better be on the right side of where it's shifting.
Right. Andre's got the power because he's got the NBA. Hakeem's got the power because he's about to blow up. Wait a minute. Jamal's got the power because he's got a hit song.
Has the power. Cookie has the power. She knows how to wrangle somebody powerful.
Right. And she has too much information about Lucius. Yeah. Lucius has the power because he's dying because he don't give a fuck. Now he, you know, and then he's not dying. And that whole thing where he caught her trying to... spoiler alert, you know, it was going to suffocate him. And I actually thought they were going to kill him off. I thought, are they going to kill off Terrence Howard? Because I saw an ad for some other TV show that he's on.
Yeah.
Did you see that, like, preview?
Yeah.
And I thought, are they going to kill off Terrence Howard?
It's like a Twilight Zone-y thing. Very different timbre, the new show that he's going to be on. Yeah.
Yeah, sort of like a Twilight Zone-y, Twin Peaks-y sort of thing.
Yeah.
I loved it. I thought it was great. My only wish is that there was more Patti LaBelle.
Oh, I agree. But you know what they've done this year with having all of these celebrities? And I was telling somebody about this, too, who was like, I don't know. I don't know if I want to watch it. I don't know if it's my thing. And I said, you know what's great is that they have used these high-impact celebrities. Sometimes they are who they are.
Right. Like
Payla Bell was Payla Bell.
Or Mary J. Blige.
Or some, you know. And then sometimes they're just, you know, these characters. But pretty much everybody, except for Jennifer Holliday, Jennifer Hudson, who had a longer arc, pretty much all the other characters, it wasn't really, they elevated, but it wasn't really like the episode was about them. Sometimes it was almost just slipped in.
Right.
But what it did was the fact that it was Mary J. Blige at that party gave it like a weight and a resonance.
Like, oh, it's
of
real.
Like
it's really
party.
Happening.
Like that,
same thing with Patti LaBelle. It's like, oh,
it created almost like a docu kind of quality to it, an authenticity to it without going, oh, it's the Love Boat and we have this Mary J. Blige playing this.
Right.
You know, I mean, they did use Courtney Love as a more central character, but she's been so out of the...
Also, they gave her such a juicy good part and she did such a good job of it.
She
did a great job. Wasn't distracting. It was the opposite because she brought
to it... great and Larry Flint, and I mean, you know,
so
she's obviously shown that she can kind of get raw and real on.
Yeah, I think she's a heck of an actress, and she was great on this. And I thought it was so interesting too, just that somehow this woman and what we bring to knowing about Courtney Love and her being sort of a rock, sort of a grunge rocker, that somehow she was part of Empire Records.
Yeah, it made sense.
It made sense, and it also was like a little bit weird. It was also like, there's more to know about Empire Records. Now, one of the things I've heard is that possibly Lenny Kravitz is coming on next season as like a reoccurring part.
Come on!
I know, right? Does that mean age?
Oof.
So I'm excited. I loved the show. I love the show. I'm a huge fan. I was talking to people at a party last night.
I was wiped the fuck out, though.
Oh, wiped out.
I do not need to do 2 hours ever again to me. I mean, I need wiped to, like, really out. Be ready because I did not expect it. I mean, I went on the ride, but afterward, I got off the roller coaster, and I was like, what just happened?
I know, there was so many things.
I had to, like, regain my equilibrium.
I mean, there was cat fights. There was cookie sex. There was Jamal gay sex on a desk, on his dad's desk. Yeah. There was
Boo Boo Kitty.
There was we're gonna die, we're not gonna die.
People getting killed.
I mean, just,
you know,
people getting killed.
Killed.
Like the whole thing with Andre's wife.
Yeah,
she was fantastic in this episode. I think she's a little underrated.
She's great on the show. I think those two are both kind of playing under the radar, even though, you know, Andre has had some juicy stuff this year. Two of them, that's an interesting couple. That's an interesting couple to come down the pike in season two and season three.
I do think if I had any criticism, it was that Lucius's arc during those 2 hours was pretty quick, right? Because he went from, you know, because suddenly he's like apologizing to Andre, and he, like, I don't know whether to trust it, right? That thing where he gave him all the gifts and you find out that Jamal is going to be the one in charge. I'm not so sure I'm buying into his, like, acceptance of Jamal's lifestyle.
I also hope they don't keep Jamal seeming so good.
I think that's what they're alluding to. They might make him more, a little bit more on the sneaky side.
I kind of got the illusion. I kind of wanted one of the final moments. I thought it was going to happen when he was standing on the roof and the buds were in his ears and he was looking out and you could tell that, like, he'd gotten it. Like, I'm going to take it. And I kind of wish I had seen, like, a couple of the things that he had a hand in.
Right.
Do you know what I'm saying?
Well, was that scene where he was going to throw that guy, Judd Nelson, off the... that his father was he will go for it. I thought Lucius's arc was a little quick in the writing, but it was okay because it led us up to that moment where he's in jail, Jamal's in charge, and there's a coup, a hostile takeover in the making.
Yeah.
And so, like, we're all set up for next year.
Ba-ba-ba-bum.
Right, and that thing where Cookie's in the mansion, you know, like, wearing, like, a cute nightie and stuff like that.
She's going to be calling that secret lover back. Yeah. it might be Lenny Kravitz. Ooh. Oh, God. Taraji, you earn points to ask for Lenny Kravitz to be your lover.
I want Lenny Kravitz to be Jamal's new lover.
Oh.
I want the documentarian to leave, and I want Lenny Kravitz to come in as his, like, older, sexy boyfriend.
Okay.
Please.
I'm into
anyone's
that.
Listening, hot.
And can I go to be on the show?
Yes, please. You can be a fluffer.
I can just be a fluffer for Lenny Kravitz. And that's the most ungay thing I'll say on this show today. But maybe not. Well, everybody, Mitchell's on the couch with us one more week, and then he set sail. He set sail to be funny ma'am.
Yep.
An improv ma'am.
Hopefully.
On the seven seas. So we're gonna squeeze one more out of him. On next week's show, we're gonna be talking a little bit about some trans topics that have been highlighted in the news and on the web. And on social media. So that and more. So have a great week, everyone. Hopefully it will warm up because I'm tired of it getting cold again.
I know, I think it's snowing.
There you go.
Thanks for listening to another Windy City Queercast. Special thanks to our Queercast family, Kirk Williamson, newscaster, and Di Sturkey, production editor. I'm Amy Matheny, your host. Please comment on our shows at WindyCityQueercast.com and iTunes. The next Queercast is only days away, so don't miss it. Subscribe today. Windy City Queercast. Queer and now.